Good morning. This is not the carol shout. That's at 11 o'clock. If you want to be rowdy, you have to come back later. Welcome to Unity Church, where we're committed to welcoming all people, especially those who have been excluded due to race, gender identity, or sexual orientation. Your gifts and your wounds are welcome here. A special welcome to those of you who are visiting here for the first time. We hope you find Unity Church to be a place which helps you to find and to keep your balance, a place which helps you lead a loving life of integrity and service and joy. If you are new here, we invite you to sign our visitor's book at the welcome table in our parish hall or in the cloister by the Portland Avenue entrance so that we can stay in touch. We also invite you to take one of our classes designed for newcomers, such as our Welcome to Unity class, which will be offered the next time on January 9th. That's a Wednesday night. If you've already taken Welcome to Unity, the next class in the series is Finding Yourself at Unity, which will be offered on January 12th. That's a Saturday. You can sign up for both classes at the welcome table in the parish hall. I'd like to call your attention to This Week at Unity, which serves as an invitation and a roadmap to deeper involvement in the life of the church. Our Wellspring Wednesday meal and programming will resume on January 9th. Don't show up this Wednesday unless you just want to hang around. Next Thursday, December 20th, there is no choir rehearsal, but the choir and, in fact, all of you are invited to come to the church at 7:15, where, in coordination with SULA, the Black Nurse Association, which is housed here at Unity Church, we will be caroling in the neighborhood with a special emphasis on people who are unable to get out at the holidays. They're not necessarily members of Unity Church, and that's good news. We're meeting many neighbors we have never known. That's caroling this coming Thursday evening. On Friday evening is the winter solstice celebration, which is at 7 o'clock. That's the 21st, and that should be a wonderful event. And the other thing I wanted to mention, especially this morning, is that we have committed ourselves to recruit mentors for sixth grade boys at Webster School. The principal of Webster School is acutely aware of the particular needs of sixth grade boys and would like us to find people to spend some time with them in a mentoring relationship. There'll be a table in the parish hall this morning where you can learn more about this. It's a half hour a week commitment and a worthy one. Following the service this morning, we hope you'll join us in the parish hall for refreshments, a chance to see new friends, renew old friendships, peruse the bookstall for holiday gifts, and to visit the information tables. Both the children's and the Anderson Library will be open following the service and are located on the second floor of the Elliott Wing. Next Sunday, the service is entitled The Guest That Comes to Stay, and I'll be preaching, and I'll be joined by Craig Allen as the worship associate. This morning's chalice, I'm getting there. Next Sunday, there will be one service at 10 o'clock. There's six services the next day, but Sunday, one service, 10 o'clock. Our chalice lighter this morning is Zoe Bickford. Following the service, Carrie, Jan, and I would love to greet you at the Portland Avenue doors. And once again, welcome to Unity Church.
church tried and failed. Our religious ancestors valiantly tried and failed. They tried to tame this season, as we do every year. And yet this season rebels and comes back in joy, in rowdiness, in chaos. Welcome to this season that blends serenity and magic, madness and awe, packaged in mystery and love. Come. Let us worship together. Will you please open your hymnals? And we will alternate between the supplement and the hymnal. And actually, this first one is in your supplement. Lo, how a rose there blooming, S45. Supplement S44, O Little Town of Bethlehem. One, two, and four.
Thank you.
Angels We Have Heard on High, number 231. Number 239, Go Tell It on the Mount. Carol. We will be singing from the supplement in the bleak midwinter. Number S47, sorry.
Please remain standing and read from your order of worship our unison affirmation. In the stillness of this place, in the season of long dark nights, teach us to embrace the darkness. In the stillness of this place, in the season of too much to do, open our hearts that we might wait and watch and hope for love to come.
I breathe in peace.
each time we gather for worship, whether here in the sanctuary or upstairs in the chapel. We set aside time to expand the caring ministry of our congregation. Together, we recognize the cycle of life and death, the circle of love, compassion, and witness that is at the center of this sacred community. Our hearts are with all those who live with grief or chronic pain, for illnesses seen and unseen, for those who live with addiction, those who live with mental illness, those who are in prison, those who care for family members in ill health, and those who knowingly and with curiosity face their final days. We are especially aware of the many members of our congregation who are grieving the deaths of aged parents. We extend our warm embrace to Laura Lee Wedderstrom, whose father, Cliff, died on December 6th. And our hearts are with Laura and Bob Kordick as they await the results of Bob's recent stem cell therapy. I now invite you to speak the names of those you have brought here in your hearts. You may say the names aloud or keep them in the silent sanctuary of your hearts. And may we stand in compassionate solidarity with our neighbors down the block and all around the world who suffer sometimes in the midst of habitual violence. May they and we be instruments of a lasting peace. And let us pray. Holy One, source of radiance and reason, thou whose love endows and animates our lives. Surrounded as we are by the murmurs of the children, remind us, we pray, to make a place for them in our lives. In the midst of the bustle and the crowds, help us befriend emptiness, that emptiness might befriend us as well. Help us to embrace the darkness in this, the darkest time of year. Help us to know its comforts and its joys, that we might be prepared to welcome the light and the child always waiting to be born. Amen.
Thank you.
All right, kids, come up here and join me for a minute on the carpet. Parents, if you have a little one who's feeling a little nervous or wiggly, you can come up here with them. Come on up and have a seat on the carpet, but don't get too comfy, because we have a long, hard journey to make. We have a long, hard journey to make, and grown-ups, don't get too comfy either, because you have a role in this journey. It's that time of year when we share in the Christmas story. Come on up and find a spot on the carpet. You can even sit in between the pews. So it's that time of year when we share in the Christmas story, an old, old sacred story that is full of amazing things. Things like angels coming and singing in the sky, things like a once-in-a-lifetime star that shines over a city to light the way, things like wise men coming across the whole continent. But our friends who live in and come from Mexico, when they think about the Christmas story, it's really interesting because their favorite part isn't one of the amazingly miraculous parts or the so incredible it's hard to believe parts. The people from Mexico, their favorite part of the story is a really human, not so amazing, not so miraculous part. Their favorite part of the story, they say, is the story that had to happen first in order for there to be a star over Bethlehem and for there to be angels and for the baby to even be born in Bethlehem. Mary and Joseph had to get to Bethlehem first. And that was not an easy journey. And the story of Mary and Joseph coming to Bethlehem goes like this. They didn't even live in Bethlehem. They came from a place called Nazareth. And so you might say, well, why did Jesus, the baby, end up being born in Bethlehem? It's because the government put out an announcement. They had a great idea. The emperor wanted to count everybody. The emperor said, hey, I'd like to know exactly how many people live in exactly how many towns, so I want you to all be counted, but I want you to go to the town where you grew up, especially if you're a man. So Joseph said, well, I grew up in Bethlehem. He looked at Mary, who was his betrothed, meaning that they weren't even married yet. He looked at Mary and said, I think we have to make a long, hard journey. And so Mary, who was very pregnant with a baby and almost ready any day to give birth to that baby, had to make a long journey to Bethlehem with Joseph. And the story goes that she got on a donkey, and Joseph walked, and they walked all the way from Nazareth to Bethlehem. And in that dry, rocky country at night, I know it was cold. And I know that it was hard to find places to stay. And I know that any of the women here in the congregation who have ever been 9 months pregnant would probably not sign up for a ride on a donkey across the desert. It was a hard, hard journey. And finally, they got to Bethlehem, but you know what? So did everybody else. Because there were a bunch of people who had to come be counted. And when they got there, they went from inn to inn, places where they could stay, and they knocked on the doors. They knocked, and everybody at the inns said, "Up, we're full up. You're too late. We don't have any rooms. We don't have any beds." And Joseph probably said, "My wife is about to have a baby. Could you have a little pity here? It's cold. We're tired. We're hungry. Do you have any space at all?" And they went from inn to inn, and everybody said, "Nope, no room." They knocked, and the answer was no. Until they got to one inn that was full still. They had no beds. They had no extra rooms. But this innkeeper came up with a creative solution. And instead of saying no right off the bat, he looked at Mary on her donkey, with her belly big and waiting for a baby, and Joseph so worried about Mary. And he said, "I don't have a room, friends, but let me think of something else. Say, in the back, behind the inn, there's a cave. I use it as a stable for, you know, my animals, the donkeys and the oxen and the sheep. It's not much, but that could work." And so Mary and Joseph end up in a stable, and that's where the whole Christmas story is told.
And this story of their journey to Bethlehem is a joy to tell and a joy to hear because it reminds us to always, always be open to the guest who might come to our home. And it reminds our hearts to be warm and tender toward all people, especially families who don't have a warm place to be, who have had a long journey of their own. And so in Mexico, when they tell this story, they call it posadas. And that means shelter. And when they have this party in Mexico, it starts several days before Christmas. It starts today, and it goes all the way till Christmas because they imagine it must have taken Mary and Joseph a long time to travel all the way from Nazareth to Bethlehem. And they have parties and feasts and music and big heaps of steaming tamales and chocolate, hot chocolate spiced with cinnamon, and most importantly, they have a parade. But not just any kind of parade, it's a parade that we're going to do right now. It's a parade where they play out what it must have been like to go from door to door, knocking and knocking and not getting any room. So they get together in their village, and they go from house to house, and they knock on the first three houses, and the people whose house that is, they have to say, "Nope, sorry, we're full up, there's no room." And so the whole village, all the children and families, they keep walking and they knock again, and the answer's no. And they knock again, and the answer's no. And finally, they come to somebody's house where the plan is, let's say yes. And the people throw open their doors and they say, "Of course you're welcome here. Your families are holy. Come in. We have chocolate. We have tamales." And they have a big celebration. And we're going to do that right now. But you guys have a part to memorize. How many of you have been in a play? Good. This is what we want you to say every time we knock on the door. Jan will knock on the door. Jan, what will it sound like? It'll sound like that. Knock, knock, knock. And you guys are going to say these words. See if you can remember them. They're in this order of worship if you happen to have it. If not, I bet you can remember them. Say them after me. We're cold and hungry. We're tired. We've come such a long way. We've come such a long way. Can we stay here with you? Good. And now I want you to act a little bit. Quick, how would you act cold? Nicely done. How would you act hungry? Yeah, oh my belly, it's got such an ache in it. How would you act tired? Oh, yeah, very nice. Because we want to put some feeling into this, into the words. So let's try this together. I'm going to set this down.
Thank you.
remember to look very cold and very tired.
Good morning. This is not the carol shout. That's at 11 o'clock. If you want to be rowdy, you have to come back later. Welcome to Unity Church, where we're committed to welcoming all people, especially those who have been excluded due to race, gender identity, or sexual orientation. Your gifts and your wounds are welcome here. A special welcome to those of you who are visiting here for the first time. We hope you find Unity Church to be a place which helps you to find and to keep your balance, a place which helps you lead a loving life of integrity and service and joy. If you are new here, we invite you to sign our visitor's book at the welcome table in our parish hall or in the cloister by the Portland Avenue entrance so that we can stay in touch. We also invite you to take one of our classes designed for newcomers, such as our Welcome to Unity class, which will be offered the next time on January 9th. That's a Wednesday night. If you've already taken Welcome to Unity, the next class in the series is Finding Yourself at Unity, which will be offered on January 12th. That's a Saturday. You can sign up for both classes at the welcome table in the parish hall. I'd like to call your attention to This Week at Unity, which serves as an invitation and a roadmap to deeper involvement in the life of the church. Our Wellspring Wednesday meal and programming will resume on January 9th. Don't show up this Wednesday unless you just want to hang around. Next Thursday, December 20th, there is no choir rehearsal, but the choir, and in fact, all of you, are invited to come to the church at 7:15, where in coordination with SULA, the Black Nurse Association, which is housed here at Unity Church, we will be caroling in the neighborhood with a special emphasis on people who are unable to get out at the holidays. They're not necessarily members of Unity Church, and that's good news. We're meeting many neighbors we have never known. That's caroling this coming Thursday evening. On Friday evening is the winter solstice celebration, which is at 7 o'clock. That's the 21st, and that should be a wonderful event. And the other thing I wanted to mention, especially this morning, is that we have committed ourselves to recruit mentors for sixth grade boys at Webster School. The principal of Webster School is acutely aware of the particular needs of sixth grade boys and would like us to find people to spend some time with them in a mentoring relationship. There'll be a table in the parish hall this morning where you can learn more about this. It's a half hour a week commitment and a worthy one. Following the service this morning, we hope you'll join us in the parish hall for refreshments, a chance to see new friends, renew old friendships, peruse the bookstall for holiday gifts, and to visit the information tables. Both the children's and the Anderson Library will be open following the service and are located on the second floor of the Elliott Wing. Next Sunday, the service is entitled "The Guest That Comes to Stay," and I'll be preaching, and I'll be joined by Craig Allen as the worship associate. This morning's chalice, I'm getting there. Next Sunday, there will be one service at 10 o'clock. There's six services the next day, but Sunday, one service, 10 o'clock. Our chalice lighter this morning is Zoe Bickford. Following the service, Carrie, Jan, and I would love to greet you at the Portland Avenue doors. And once again, welcome to Unity Church.
church tried and failed. Our religious ancestors valiantly tried and failed. They tried to tame this season, as we do every year, and yet this season rebels and comes back in joy, in rowdiness, in chaos. Welcome to this season that blends serenity and magic, madness and awe, packaged in mystery and love. Come. Let us worship together. Will you please open your hymnals? And we will alternate between the supplement and the hymnal. And actually, this first one is in your supplement. Lo, how a rose there blooming, S45. Supplement S44, O Little Town of Bethlehem. One, two, and four.
Thank you.
Switching to hymnal, Angels We Have Heard on High, number 231. Number 239, Go Tell It on the Mount.
Thank you.
will be singing from the supplement In the Bleak Midwinter. Number S47, sorry.
Please remain standing and read from your order of worship our unison affirmation. In the stillness of this place, in the season of long dark nights, teach us to embrace the darkness. In the stillness of this place, in the season of too much to do, open our hearts, that we might wait and watch and hope for love to come.
each time we gather for worship, whether here in the sanctuary or upstairs in the chapel. We set aside time to expand the caring ministry of our congregation. Together we recognize the cycle of life and death, the circle of love, compassion, and witness that is at the center of this sacred community. Our hearts are with all those who live with grief or chronic pain, for illnesses seen and unseen, for those who live with addiction, those who live with mental illness, those who are in prison, those who care for family members in ill health, and those who knowingly and with curiosity face their final days. We are especially aware of the many members of our congregation who are grieving the deaths of aged parents. We extend our warm embrace to Laura Lee Wedderstrom, whose father, Cliff, died on December 6th. And our hearts are with Laura and Bob Kordick as they await the results of Bob's recent stem cell therapy. I now invite you to speak the names of those you have brought here in your hearts. You may say the names aloud or keep them in the silent sanctuary of your hearts. And may we stand in compassionate solidarity with our neighbors down the block and all around the world who suffer sometimes in the midst of habitual violence. May they and we be instruments of a lasting peace. And let us pray. Holy One, source of radiance and reason, thou whose love endows and animates our lives. Surrounded as we are by the murmurs of the children, remind us, we pray, to make a place for them in our lives. In the midst of the bustle and the crowds, help us befriend emptiness, that emptiness might befriend us as well. Help us to embrace the darkness in this, the darkest time of year. Help us to know its comforts and its joys, that we might be prepared to welcome the light and the child always waiting to be born. Amen.
Thank you.
All right, kids, come up here and join me for a minute on the carpet. Parents, if you have a little one who's feeling a little nervous or wiggly, you can come up here with them. Come on up and have a seat on the carpet, but don't get too comfy because we have a long, hard journey to make. We have a long, hard journey to make, and grown-ups, don't get too comfy either because you have a role in this journey. It's that time of year when we share in the Christmas story. Come on up and find a spot on the carpet. You can even sit in between the pews. So it's that time of year when we share in the Christmas story, an old, old sacred story that is full of amazing things. Things like angels coming and singing in the sky, things like a once-in-a-lifetime star that shines over a city to light the way, things like wise men coming across the whole continent. But our friends who live in and come from Mexico, when they think about the Christmas story, it's really interesting because their favorite part isn't one of the amazingly miraculous parts or the so incredible it's hard to believe parts. The people from Mexico, their favorite part of the story is a really human, not so amazing, not so miraculous part. Their favorite part of the story, they say, is the story that had to happen first in order for there to be a star over Bethlehem and for there to be angels and for the baby to even be born in Bethlehem. Mary and Joseph had to get to Bethlehem first. And that was not an easy journey. And the story of Mary and Joseph coming to Bethlehem goes like this. They didn't even live in Bethlehem. They came from a place called Nazareth. And so you might say, well, why did Jesus, the baby, end up being born in Bethlehem? It's because the government put out an announcement. They had a great idea. The emperor wanted to count everybody. The emperor said, hey, I'd like to know exactly how many people live in exactly how many towns, so I want you to all be counted, but I want you to go to the town where you grew up, especially if you're a man. So Joseph said, well, I grew up in Bethlehem. And he looked at Mary, who was his betrothed, meaning that they weren't even married yet. He looked at Mary and said, I think we have to make a long, hard journey. And so Mary, who was very pregnant with a baby and almost ready any day to give birth to that baby, had to make a long journey to Bethlehem with Joseph. And the story goes that she got on a donkey and Joseph walked, and they walked all the way from Nazareth to Bethlehem. And in that dry, rocky country at night, I know it was cold. And I know that it was hard to find places to stay. And I know that any of the women here in the congregation who have ever been 9 months pregnant would probably not sign up for a ride on a donkey across the desert. It was a hard, hard journey. And finally, they got to Bethlehem, but you know what? So did everybody else. Because there were a bunch of people who had to come be counted, and when they got there, they went from inn to inn. places where they could stay, and they knocked on the doors. They knocked, and everybody at the inns said, "Up, we're full up. You're too late. We don't have any rooms. We don't have any beds." And Joseph probably said, "My wife is about to have a baby. Could you have a little pity here? It's cold. We're tired. We're hungry. Do you have any space at all?" And they went from inn to inn, and everybody said, "Nope, no room." They knocked, and the answer was no. Until they got to one inn that was full still. They had no beds. They had no extra rooms. But this innkeeper came up with a creative solution. And instead of saying no right off the bat, he looked at Mary on her donkey with her belly big and waiting for a baby, and Joseph so worried about Mary. And he said, "I don't have a room, friends, but let me think of something else. Say, in the back, behind the inn, there's a cave. I use it as a stable for, you know, my animals, the donkeys and the oxen and the sheep. It's not much, but that could work." And so Mary and Joseph end up in a stable, and that's where the whole Christmas story is told. And this story of their journey to Bethlehem is a joy to tell and a joy to hear, because it reminds us to always, always be open to the guest who might come to our home. And it reminds our hearts to be warm and tender toward all people, especially families who don't have a warm place to be, who have had a long journey of their own. And so in Mexico, when they tell this story, they call it posadas. And that means shelter. And when they have this party in Mexico, it starts several days before Christmas. It starts today, and it goes all the way till Christmas, because they imagine it must have taken Mary and Joseph a long time to travel all the way from Nazareth to Bethlehem. And they have parties and feasts and music and big heaps of steaming tamales and chocolate, hot chocolate spiced with cinnamon. And most importantly, they have a parade. But not just any kind of parade, it's a parade that we're going to do right now. It's a parade where they play out what it must have been like to go from door to door, knocking and knocking and not getting any room. So they get together in their village, and they go from house to house, and they knock on the first three houses, and the people whose house that is, they have to say, "Nope, sorry, we're full up, there's no room." And so the whole village, all the children and families, they keep walking again, and the answer is no. And they knock again, and the answer is no. And finally, they come to somebody's house where the plan is, let's say yes. And the people throw open their doors, and they say, "Of course you're welcome here. Your families are holy. Come in. We have chocolate. We have tamales." And they have a big celebration. And we're going to do that right now. But you guys have a part to memorize. How many of you have been in a place? Good. This is what we want you to say every time we knock on the door. Jan will knock on the door. Jan, what will it sound like? It'll sound like knock, knock. And you guys are going to say words, if you can remember them. They're in this order of worship, if you happen to have it. If not, you can remember. Say them after me. We're cold and hungry. We're tired. We've come such a long way. We've come such a long way. Can we stay here with you? Good. And now I want you to act a little bit. Quick, how would you act cold? Nicely done. How would you act hungry? Yeah, oh, my belly. It's got such an ache in it. How would you act tired? Oh, yeah, very nice. Because we want to put some feeling into this, into the words. So let's try this together. I'm going to set this down.